We are equipped to rescue. For those, now, here I'm going to, Lord Jesus. Okay, he said, you're all right. You're doing good. Okay, he has to encourage me because I'm like, I got all this. And I'm like, where are we going to get to the words? Okay, but here's, these are important things for you to know as a body and those that are watching as you receive the word of God. Not only from me, but anybody who will stand in this pulpit, and we have great people to stand in this pulpit, by the way, but wonderful, just like you, or anybody out there that you're listening to that you know that this is part of our bunch. I want to lay this groundwork in you in regards to the word of God so that when your reception of what you'll hear in the future is always there. As far as when we talk about the Greek and further study in certain things, because some of the words that I'm giving you, will give you, whether this week or next week, I've given you a simple Strong's definition, and then I myself, because of access to my tools, have gone into maybe extended word studies or the possibility of a lexicon or something that would take a definition and expand it for me, for convenience to you, for convenience purposes. Is that fair enough? Okay, but this is what I want you to understand. For those, that's us, that are searching. Let me back up here. Let me read this because I'm getting ahead of myself for just a moment. For those that are searching, let the word itself, when you give them the word, break the ice. Let the anointing break the shroud of darkness over their minds. Don't try to talk your friend or your family member. Don't try to argue with them. We talk too much sometimes when we're trying to help people. We try to explain something from an intellectual standpoint. Just give them the word and back up and watch the word work. It may take months. And here's the side note that I was trying to get to. We who study subsequent documents such as expanded word dictionaries, lexicons, and commentaries, we do it for your convenience, okay? In other words, I can give you something and then I can speed up the time for your understanding, and that's a convenient thing, isn't it? Amen? I hope it is. But this is what I want you to understand, because I want you to love this word and go to this word and read it for yourself. It never implies that without subsequent things like these commentaries, which is my least favorite thing to go to, because I can tell you this, if you've ever looked at commentaries, they all say something different. They all say something different, almost every single one of them. Don't put much stock at all in commentaries. It is never to imply that without these things you cannot come to a full truth of Scripture. It is never to imply that only those who study beyond Scripture have the ability to interpret for you. Now, if you ever hear anybody say that or talk like that or have a disposition or an air like, well, I understand the Greek and you don't. Listen, what happened in the Dark Ages was the word was taken from the people and put in monasteries, and the monks had control over the word and the people didn't. And there was a great revolution to pull it out of there and put it in the streets. And so the word of God was written for, I like the way Dave used to talk and use example. He said it was written for Joe Public and Mary Wallpaper. And I said this, or I wrote this, Joe and Mary must read, meditate, and pray for the full understanding to take place. But it will if they, listen, this was written for the common man. Because I'm common. Hallelujah. See how I dropped my Bible? Very common. But I'm telling you, you don't get it unless you make application to it. Hallelujah. You will never find, and this is for us to know as we continue, because a lot of times I'll say, the Greek says this, or the expanded Greek says this, or blah, blah, blah. But you will never find a scripture in the Old Testament or the New Testament that even implies that the interpretation of Scripture is dependent on another supporting writing. You'll never find that. The whole of the understanding Scripture is self-contained. It's within itself. And also we have a teacher. Jesus said, howbeit when the Spirit of truth has come, the Holy Ghost, He'll guide you into all truth. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? In other words, see, there's, you know, when I use the word lexicon is a dictionary of a vocabulary. Basically, there's medical lexicons. Wherever, you know, they have you get a medical dictionary, and it has all of the words defined. There's legal lexicons. But every single book on earth has to have a supporting book, like go to this one to understand more. Or this one is the only one on the planet that has, there's no need, or not, I wouldn't say a need, there's no necessity, as in you have to have something else. Like if you just had a deep understanding of the Greek, you could understand the Revelation. It's all self-contained. Helps and conveniences are what I'm supposed to be about, like saying, here, I already did this for you, I can tell you, and you can trust me, but also if you want to, go check it out. See if I'm, you know, was mistaken or lying. I'm not going to try to lie to you. But I can tell you this, if you were, I can't say, Robinson Crusoe, because the kids wouldn't understand that. If you were, I can't even say Gilligan, because y'all probably don't even know who Gilligan is. If I said Castaway, Tom Hanks, okay? If you're Castaway and you're on an island, and who was he working for? FedEx, or who was it? FedEx. If you're on that island and you're born again, spirit filled, and you wake up the next day, and he was on that island for years, if just a King James Version washes up, and you just start reading that thing, you will know what everything means by the self-contained of all of Scripture in it. In other words, there will never be a part, if you were a castaway, that you got to a point and said, oh my God, it's in parentheses, must have Greek lexicon to understand what this Scripture, and he's like, it didn't wash up, I'm messed up. It's all in here. It's self-contained. It's the only book like it. It doesn't have to have a supporting book or a dictionary for you to know what it means when you've got the teacher. But you do have to meditate it. Hallelujah. Does that make you feel good? Because I'm Joe Public, and you're Mary Wallpaper. Some of you Marys. Not all you guys are Marys. Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you want to look at just a few of these just before we, okay? Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. And I don't know, maybe we had that. You can put that up, but I don't know if that's necessary. Just look at those verses with me. This is the first one we'll look at. I hope you're going to be here tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. We may not stay till 12, but we'll have a good time. And we'll have communion, and we'll have worship, and hallelujah. I'll bring in a big, I've got a basketball, I'll bring it in, we'll drop it, okay? The ball will drop. Oh, okay, sorry. You can put some what? Sparkles on it. Okay, very good. Very good. The floor is helping me out. I appreciate that. Look at Galatians 5:19. This is one of our scriptures here. Now the works of the flesh, everybody there? The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and of such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, Gary's broke a lot of this down, and he did some of this in the First John teaching, which was really good, and I've heard him do some other teachings on breaking these word definitions down before, which was great. So hopefully you've heard those, because they're just help accentuate this message. I want you to look at one simple and small word in the bottom half of Galatians chapter 5, verse 21, it says this: they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That word do, though it's just two letters, is so vitally important to understanding this scripture here. The word is praeso. It's 4238 in the Strong's. I went into a little bit of expanded on it, but it really, you don't have to expand it too much. It means, it is a primary verb. It means to practice, i.e. means, for example, to perform repetitively or habitually. And even the Strong said this, thus differing from 4160, that's another reference word, which properly refers to a single act. This means by implication to execute, to accomplish, specifically to collect dues, blah, 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 on and on. But the first part of this was the most important for you to understand, is it's a habitual ongoing, okay? Well, they've been living together for 5 years, and they're not married, and but they call themselves Christians. Listen, if you think, here's where you don't get into arguments, because we're not a debate team. You sow that word in any kind of See, people that want to argue, they're not hungry anyway. They're not hungry. But people that are searching, you can sow this into them, because somebody will say, well, what's habitual? Is 10 years, 5 years? Listen, if you want to know what habitual is, habitual really, by strict word definition, is more than once. Okay? It's more than once. It's you're starting to form, after the second time, you're starting to form a habit. So you want to get, but again, don't argue. Sow the word, back up, go your merry way, and see if it works. Calls on, you know the thing in Jude, on some. Everybody say some. He did not say everybody. You're not going to pull everybody out. Mike tried to save a lot of them, and he saved some. He saw a lot of people die, and he saw a lot of people live. But he couldn't save them all. You're not going to be able to save them all. You're going to save the ones that are searching on our middle ground, legitimate middle ground, and they're searching, and you're going to be able to say, this is what the word says. And you back up, and if they want more, then you're able to give them more. We're first responders. We're rescuing, okay? But these are for those that are habitually. This is not, somebody that's, okay, don't need to go into all that, okay. So the first word here, the next word we see in this passage, and I said that I went into some of this past the Strong's for your convenience. Now, you can check this out yourself, but the word adultery. Is everybody still with me? Let's go back up to the first part of chapter 5 where he starts the list. Okay, we're in the list now, adultery. Adultery, this would include, this word would include the word porneia, which is 4202. How many of you could imagine where we get what word we get out of porneia? Okay, you guys are pretty sharp. Okay, you're getting ready to rescue people. The word porneia, which includes this word, it's part of the word adultery, which includes a more general understanding of all sexual sin, but this one involves at least one person that is married, okay? So does everybody understand that? Adultery is different in fornication in the sense of the word that is at least one is married. And nowadays, my God, now you've got to say, well, we don't have to say, but if you're out there in the world, you have to say, I'm married to a female wife. It's gotten weird, people. It's gotten real weird. Okay? Have you noticed all the commercials? Jesus, now it's a cascade. I saw that one, I was liking a couple of them during the ball games. A couple of them were on the same company. It was pretty funny, a couple of them. And then these two men were leaving their children with a babysitter that was real incompetent, and it was basically telling them, I think it was an insurance thing, or saying, you don't need an incompetent insurance or whatever. And these two men were like, remember the names of our kids? And the world don't even get all that. Most Christians don't. We are under a barrage. We're in a barrage to accept the world. Candy and I were on a tram going down to the beach a few months ago, and we were the only ones sitting on the tram. And a man was sitting there about to take us down there, and there was a bunch of, you've heard me tell a little while back, it was a bunch of college kids or college slash high school maybe, but the chaperones were college, and the lady standing there, and I could tell she was a lady, a young lady, and she says, she gave her given name, and her given name was a female gender, and it said, she says, she was talking to all these ones that she would chaperone, and she goes, no, I'm just going to pick out a name, I don't know what it was. My name is Mary, and I'm a boy, and I looked at Candy. My mind's still straight. I still got a mind. My mind's okay. And that's why. And then the tram driver, he was like, you said what? And then she started telling him, look, you will refer, basically she wanted to refer to them to refer to her as in the personal pronouns that she had selected for them to. So listen, a religious fanatic, a debater, those that call scenes are those that would get off the tram, go over there, get in her face, and, you know, you're crazy, blah, blah, blah. I'm not about to do something like that. Even if she gets on there with me, I'm just going to be nice to her, and I'm not going to call her anything. I'm not going to call her anything. But here's the deal. When you then begin to tell me, get in my face, and say, you will call me, I demand that you call me. And see, that's what the world is doing. Even if they come in here, I can promise you, if Mary's standing here and she had a law that would say, you will call me a boy, if they do this to me or this, and I hope it's not Jade that has to do it. I hope she's nice when she cuffs me. When they're carrying me out, I'm going to say, you're a girl. You're a girl. You're a girl. Because I'm not going to lose my mind like the world. The world has gone certifiably insane. The world has. And we're after those. We are after them. And we're not going to embarrass them, but we're not also going to let them make our minds like theirs. Okay, the word fornication is the word 4202, which is porneia, which means it comes from also, this is the Greek, you know, it builds on another, harlotry, including adultery or incest, figuratively adultery, fornication. So this would include all sexual sins, but it would specifically, adultery is the one dealing with a married, at least one married spouse. The word uncleanliness, I hope you're following, because I'm not looking at that list that you have. I just have the word in front of me. Is everybody following along right down through Galatians 5? Uncleanliness is 167 in the Strong's, and I'm not going to try. Gary says we're not Greek. We're not going to ever speak Greek, so why should we try to speak it or try to pronounce it? It's A-K-A-T-H-A-R-S-I-A. If Jim was here, Jim could do it. Jim could do it. I got confidence in Jim. Okay. It comes also from a derivative of 169. It means impurity, physically or morally. It's an uncleanliness. And here is the nuance on it. It's a lewdness, incontinence in general. In other words, it's incontinent means being inability. We use that in another term medically for people. But it means an inability to restrain. There's no restraint, self-restraint. Lasciviousness is the next one. 766 in the Strong's. The Greek was, you know, even in the Strong's, it's filthy, lasciviousness, wantonness. There's some other things at the beginning of it, but as I went to also the expanse on this, expanding, and it's licentious. It means licentious, brutal, debauchery, sexual excess, absence of restraint, very close to uncleanliness, insatiable desire for pleasure. It's an arrogance, insolence, referring to words, wantonness. Wantonness means a lust that just you can't fill it up. An excess in pleasure, debauchery. It's a perversion in general. You know, one of the things that struck me, it's as if Paul, now I know that if you just go into expanse after expanse, you will find the nuance, the different shades that's a little different in all of these, but you'll also seem as you're reading this that they overlap. They really do overlap. And it's like the Holy Spirit through Paul was writing saying, I'm just trying to catch everything. If there's anything that anybody's in question about, if they're in argument, but see here, we're the ones, I don't get up every day. I don't ever get up and go through this litany like I got to restrain from these things today. I don't even think about those things. Why? Because I'm free and I'm born again. I'm not even trying to live close to the edge of these things. So I'm easy peasy. I get my mind's free to go about and do other stuff. I can be very productive. I just live out of the uh-huhs and the uh-uhs. I don't have to live out of those. This is for the ones that are the church that we got to rescue, that we're saying, hey, look, you can settle all this and then live out of the easy peasy. Glory be to God. Does that make sense? Idolatry. With an I, not an A. Here, it's worship. This one's simple. It's 1495, and it's almost pronounced like adultery in the Greek. But it is, and of course it comes from a couple of others, Greek words. This is related to also, but it means the worship of an idol. But when we say an idol, of course, this also comes from a Greek word, I think it's 1497, yep, out of the Greek, which also is the same word that 1 John chapter 5, verse 22, when he says, last verse, little children, keep yourself from idols. So this could be a person, place, or thing. This doesn't have to be in fact, it's in 2018, now, tomorrow, next day, 20, it next 19, it's not so much the idols. There are many nations that still worship idols, but American church is full of idols. You can love your wife more than you love God. You can love your husband more than you love God. You can love your job more than you love God. The next part of this gets pretty kind of, we'll go into this one too. What's the next one in line? See, witchcraft. Gary broke this down years ago. I liked it. 5331, it's pharmacia. It's the word medicine or medication. And it means also, by extension, magic, literally, figuratively, sorcery, or witchcraft. But the first meaning that you will find is pharmacia, which we get our word pharmacy from. And this word witchcraft, somebody said, well, I'm not involved in witchcraft. The first meaning of this is excess of drugs. And the expanse on this was a drug which in the Greek writers is used both for curative or medicinal drugs and also a poison one. It means also, as I read on this, the occult, sorcery, witchcraft, elicited pharmaceuticals, trance, magic, incantations with drugs. So those that are destroying their bodies through pharmaceuticals, and this is where, well, okay, I won't get into all that, but let's just leave it at that. He's saying this word witchcraft is drugs. That's another deal breaker. It's another deal breaker. It can destroy. The word hatred. Now here we get into, and I think we're going to be doing pretty good here. It's the word hatred. Is that the next one?
Yeah.
Okay. Now he kind of begins to get into, and I know that you could kind of say they're all emotional. Yeah, everything is kind of has deals. But here's where it kind of gets scary, because it gets into ones that are just kind of would be relevant to all of us at times. You know, the whole church. This is where he gets into emotional kind of. The other ones are kinds of stuff you kind of do with your body, or you got to. This is kind of stuff that could just be in your heart. And this is where it's real scary. But hatred, it's word 2189, ECHTHRA. It is the word beginning. First word is hostility. By implication, a reason for opposition, enmity, hatred, and it gives other expansive Greek words. When I studied it, looked into it, wanted to know the nuance that was different in hatred. Hatred is the first word, hostility. The key here is here's the bottom line on this one. Do you wish that you could actually harm someone? Then you have hatred. This is dangerous. There are people sitting in the church at large that have such ill feelings that are, well, sometimes they really could be Christians. I remember, man, one of my favorite all-time testimonies is Gary, when he was so honest before the Lord, and the Lord came to him and said, you know, you can't continue to follow me if you have hatred in your heart. Because he said there was a couple of people, and I kind of know the story on that, and I'm never going to talk about it, but I can tell you this, there was in the natural room for hatred. But I'm telling you, Gary said, Lord, you know my heart. He said, I hate these people. I would love to see them dead, and I'd love to be the one that made them so. That's real honest, okay? But the Lord delivered him out of that through a synopsis of speaking life over them. The Lord obviously forgave Gary. The Lord, you know, did a cleansing work in their life. So Christians can be struggling, but I can tell you that if this germinates and goes to a place where that you begin to live out of a place where you really, you think of that person, you think, man, I wish, you know, subliminal thoughts come through the mind so quick sometimes that you don't even want to be honest, but if you think, man, I wish something would happen to them. Or I wish, I'd like to see what it feel like if I could just knock the living you-know-what out of them. Hurt them. That's hostility. That's where hatred comes from. That is a place of hatred. If hatred goes to the next level in that place of where you begin to feel like you really like somebody hurt, that is, and if you do that, now doing like shacking up, excuse the term, 5 years, we can judge that and say that's in a continual. You can't look. Here's the hidden things of the heart. Only the Holy Spirit knows. There are people sitting in churches that are systematically dying spiritually because they have something inside of them. A spouse did something to them. A neighbor did something to them. A boss did something to them. An ex-partner did something to them. And they're seething. I love you. This is why the word says, lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. People will stand in church and worship God and there's a part of their heart they don't even want to think about that just wishes that person was dead. That's hatred. That's hatred. You cannot. No revivalist has hatred in their heart. I can tell you that. Your prayers aren't even getting to the ceiling if you have hatred in your heart. Repent, get healed, and go forward. Amen? Hallelujah. What's the next one? Variance. It means a wrangling, a quarreling. It's 2054 in the Strong's. It means an affinity with an uncertain affinity, a quarrel, for example, a wrangling, a contention. Metaphorically, it means this, to love strife, to love it, to love it. I pray to God we have no lovers of strife in here. Emulations, I'm going to kind of kick it off here, kick it into gear a little here. 2205, it's almost pronounced zealous or zealous. It means zeal. In a favorable sense, it means to really love or to have zeal, but it also means a jealousy as a husband. An emulation, in this sense of the word, is a fervent mind, an indignation, a jealousy. It comes from 2204, meaning to seethe, to boil, to bubble from the sound of boiling water. That's the painted picture. It can have a good zeal, but here it is a jealousy of an evil sense. It's like, does that spell it out? Man, you know, we've talked for the last couple of years about fornication, adultery, and all the bad stuff that'll send you the possibility of sending people to hell. Can you imagine going to hell because jealousy eventually just destroyed everything on the inside of you? We don't name hatred and jealousy and strife as deadly sins, but Paul did. Wrath. Is that the next one? The word wrath is the word thumos. It's really the word where we get the thermo or thermos from. Comes from 2280. It's a passion, it's a fierceness, an indignation. This is also an overlap. It's an overlap. An indignation, it's a wrath. These are all, and I wrote this down, these are all emotions that every Christian can feel from time to time, but we do not live there. To live there is to become consumed with these things, and they will become, if we become consumed with these things, they will become our way of life. These are all, what these are is what he's describing is emotions on steroids. Okay. They carry their own life until they consume the life that is in the born-again believer. You're going to help some people. How many would like to rescue some people? Your girl, you know, your neighbor, your friend says, I just, you know, he cheated on me 5 years ago, and we made up. I forgave him, but I still hate him, and I hate her. Now, these are real things. I know he said he said, God, listen, if you divorce him or forgive him, but don't forgive him, don't keep him in the house and beat him every year or two. Get rid of him. You have that prerogative at the initial, but if you ever say I forgive you, you then it's on then. Why are you saying that? I don't know why I'm saying it. Once you've ever forgiven, you can never, you can't keep slaves in your heart. There's no cage for you to put somebody in and ever 6 months bring them out and beat on them a little bit to satisfy what they did to you. Hallelujah. Well, I know he said we went to the blood and we took communion together, but I still can't get over it. Well, you better get over it. Or you shouldn't have started. I mean, if you went to the blood, then you started something that you better carry out all the way to the end. Or she cheated, or she did. Listen, you can't carry that. I don't know who I'm speaking to. Maybe just somebody that'll hear it in the future. But it's real. They carry their own life. And an emotion of the moment Like you and I have an argument or whatever at the moment where we feel anger. An emotion of the moment is hardly dangerous to the power of the new nature. But when it is allowed to stay, it becomes like a rogue cancerous cell that is only minute. It's only minute up against many millions of healthy cells. But in time, without restraint, the cancerous cells multiply and destroy the millions of living cells. And one day, there'll be no more life for them to, you know, cancer cells are like Pac-Man. They just keep eating. One day, there's no more life, and the light goes out. So don't keep jealousy. Don't keep all those. This is why Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Deal with it now. 2 days of sulking and seething produces all the right environment, all the right environment for cancerous cells of wrath, emulation, hatred, jealousy, strife to multiply. This, Paul said, look, be angry and sin not. It's okay. You could actually be angry and not go to the point where, I mean, once you start throwing the cuss words out and once you start saying, well, and listen, for God's sake, I'm telling you, for God's sake, those of you that are watching, I don't care how bad it ever gets. Don't ever use D-I-V-O-R-C-E. Don't ever use it in your home. You have just opened the door. You get down on your knees. You ask God to forgive you. Because the moment you use that word, all of hell comes to attention. It comes to attention. You have just begun the beginning process of the divorce, the destruction. You cleanse, you purge. Isaiah said, come, put a coal of fire on my mouth and purge my words. One thing, I'm just so thankful that in 40 years of marriage, that is never, I don't care what, me and Candy's had some times, but I love her more today than I ever have, and she's always right. And I really mean that. I don't know a better Christian, but I'm telling you, I don't care how it's ever been, that's one thing that we don't use. If you use that word, you better go strictly back to the cross real quick. Hallelujah. Amen. That'll save somebody's marriage right there. And if you said it, your words have power. Your words have power. They just open up the universe. They open up. They either solicit angels or they solicit devils. I don't care how mad. I'd rather you put a cussing on them than use that word. Glory be to God. We just got everybody loving me. Hallelujah. Woo! Jesus. Hallelujah. Where were we? What word were we on? Strife. Okay. Okay. Seditions. We went through strife pretty quick here. It's anger. It's excite. It provokes. It initiates. Strife. This is expanded. It also incites. It excites and incites to stimulate an action. Strife is a leaven here. It helps other people get angry. If you've got strife in you, you'll inevitably feed it to others. That's a good definition. Seditions, it's a disunity. It's 1370 if anybody's marking this down. It's a disunity, i.e., it means a dissension, a division, a sedition. These are also overlapping. A separation faction, a division, a separation, seditions happen in businesses, they happen in churches, they happen in families. It's a separation. It's a separation. So much more to say. Glory be to God. Are you getting anything? Do you trust me for just a couple more minutes or a few more minutes? Okay. Well, a couple of you do, and I'm taking authority over the rest of you. Hallelujah. Heresies. Heresies are real scary because this is where the church is at right now. 139 in the Greek. It means a choice. For example, a party or a disunity, also very much like seditions. It's a heresy which means this. The expanse on this is to choose or to select. A heresy is a form of religious worship to take of oneself. A heresy is basically, I like this, and I like this preacher. I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, which is Peter, I'm of Barnabas, or I'm of different ones. You know, people today in the church that now, they find the preacher that they like, and if that preacher gets them convicted, they'll just find another preacher. You know, they'll just, you know. Wasn't that funny that John Christ, I get sidetracked here. He's got, how many of you know who John Christ, is it Chris? Christ. John Christ is comedian, the Christian comedian. He's got one now out of, what's the title of it? It's like a virtual reality church. And it's so funny because you can, you put these virtual reality, you know, headset on, and you can select the preacher you want. You can select the worship service. He even's got this one part is if you want to go to a Pentecostal church, always remember to stand in front of a bed. So, you know, it shows him passing out, you know. So you got your own catchers and you know, and you can tone it down if the preacher, you know, if you don't like, and he goes, you can get away from, you know, that crazy thing of holding hands or, you know, touching one of them. So it's really funny. Check it out. It really is. I love it. So here, envyings. This is 53:55, and it means jealousy. But here's where envyings is so strong. It's envying, and the expanse of it means jealousy, pain or malignity conceived at the side or the sight of excellence or happiness. In other words, if you get grieved, now I'm not saying that you're in this. But here's a telltale sign that you got some seeds or a person that looks at somebody else's what they got, their boat, their house, their car, whatever, and you're grieved by it, and it makes you like, you've got envyings inside of you that needs to come out. I don't like, you know, remember our last Sunday service or a few Sundays ago? Entitlement? That's the entitlement believes you got it, so I should have it. No, I didn't work for it, but yeah, you worked for it, but you should give me half of what you got. If you're upset because somebody's got something, this envyings here means you're grieved. I just read it out of the Greek. Grieved by someone else's happiness. That's sad. That's sad. Murders, it's phanos. 5408, it just means to murder, but we could go into the expanse on that. You can murder people in your heart as well. Drunkenness, that's just that plain old Fred Sanford drunkenness. Some of you don't even know who Fred Sanford is, okay? He's a comedian in the past, okay? Loved him. It's 3178, and it means intoxication. So much of the church now, they just don't think nothing of going out and getting drunk. Do you know that even Revelations, the book of Revelation says the drunkard will have their place in the lake of fire? That's crazy. That's not crazy. Sorry, word. Sorry, God. That's just amazing. The one who does habitually. Okay? You can't do that. I'm sorry, the church thinks they can, they can't. We're going to rescue them. Revelings, last one. The nuance on this was it was a carousing. It was also a letting loose. It meant a riotous. And it also was connected in festivals in honor to all gods. It was a riotous conduct. One of the different gods that was written about in reference to this was Bacchus. The god of wine, hence feasting and drunkenness with all impurities and obscenities of the grossest kind. So, hallelujah. I just edified you so you, when we go out of here today, you'll say, well, hallelujah, glory to be to God. I was just so edified in these things. Hallelujah. Let's all stand together. Are you going to be equipped? Yes. Hallelujah. So when somebody's asking about certain things, you're going to tell them, you need to call my pastor, right? I'm sick today and I need help. And you're going to say what? Ooh, yeah, baby. Come on. Hallelujah. This man's working. He's working. I tell you what, I've slipped him a few bucks before the thing. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I love all of you guys watching. I hope you're here tomorrow night. Have a happy new year if we don't see you. We're not here tonight, of course, but tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, come and praise the Lord. In the name of Jesus, bless. We give you all the praise and glory, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you.